You ready? You're listening to the Real Pineapple Podcast Network. Got a review for Barbie, the other half of a Barbenheimer. By the time you hear this review, I think I'm gonna upload Barbie and Oppenheimer. I think I'll just upload both reviews at the same time. It would kind of be fitting. So yeah, both reviews should be live on the channel by the time you hear this. So go listen to my Oppenheimer review as well. But this is co-written and directed by Greta Gerwig. You know Greta Gerwig from a ton of shit, including 20th Century Women and Jackie. And then, of course, she went ahead and directed Lady Bird, which is, if you've talked to me about film, you know Lady Bird is one of my favorite films ever. I fucking love Lady Bird so much. And then, of course, Little Women remake back in 2019. Love that movie as well. I'm such a fan of Greta Gerwig. And I think she really is one of the best in the game. If there's anyone that should be handling a Charlie's Angels reboot, it should be Greta Gerwig or Rachel Sennott. She'd be a great choice as well. But I digress. So Barbie, of course, stars Margot Robbie as a titular Barbie. You know her, of course, from I was gonna say Focus, but that's mean. She's the best thing about that movie though. But you know, from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Suicide Squad, I, Tonya, Babylon, Amsterdam. One thing about Margot Robbie that I love is like her filmography is very different. Like she's taking chances on shit. Like she's definitely not staying in the Harley Quinn box that I think a lot of people were expecting her to stay in. She's great in Bombshell as well. Like I'm just very proud. I'm very happy with Margot Robbie. Plus, she's paying it forward and producing great shit. Promising Young Woman. That was one of my favorite films of the year. I think that was number 3 on my top 10 of 2020. I fucking love Promising Young Woman. Might have been number three or number 5. Something like that. Anyways, it was in the top 10. But huge fan of Margot Robbie, huge fan of Ryan Gosling, or the Ling, as I call him, playing Ken. You know him from The Nice Guys, which was my favorite film of that year. Half Nelson and Drive, just to name a few. And, of course, Blade Runner 2049, which fucking rules. So, we go ahead and we are transported to Barbie Land, is what I'll call it. So, let me just get this out of the way real quick. I do find it really funny that, I think I talked about it during my Oscar talk, so I'll get into it here real quick. Margot Robbie did not get screwed for Best Actress for Barbie. The fact that people weren't celebrating America Ferrera's nomination, I thought was actually quite gross, to be honest. And this was up for Best Picture. I think someone like Julianne Moore was royally screwed for May-December. I think someone like Rachel McAdams was screwed for Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Like, there were other women who deserved it more than Robbie. Sorry. But with that said, Margot Robbie, I don't think that the subtleness of playing an Avatar, I don't think that lends itself really to allowing yourself to give an Oscar-worthy performance. So I think that Robbie is actually perfect for what she needs to be based on the script, but I don't think that her comedic nuances are being celebrated enough, if that makes sense. Because the way that she even delivers, like, and I know it's in the trailer, but the way she delivers the you ever think about dying, and the way that everything just stops around her and is silent in that moment, and the way that she holds it and kind of does that, like, dead that dead eye stare, that's great comedic timing. And I talked about this during my Suicide Squad review for the Suicide Squad, not that original piece of crap, but I don't think Robbie gets enough credit for being great with her comedic timing. I, Tonya, has a ton of that. more of this dark humor, and Robbie just nails it constantly. And there's a lot of dark jokes in here, that one in particular being one of my favorites. And I do think that Robbie should be celebrated on that front. With that said, I understand why Nolan got Best Director nomination, but goddamn, I don't know what Greta Gerwig has to do. Like, I was talking to one of my friends about it, and she was just like, dude, do you see Greta didn't get nominated? I think Cooper should have gotten nominated for Maestro. I think there were other people who were worthy of nominations, but Greta didn't get one for Lady Bird, which she should have. She should have gotten one for Little Women, because that just, oh my god, the way that film was shot is fucking stunning. This is a film that made over $1 billion. This film, let's call it what it is, basically made Warner Brothers look good for, for months on end, when The Flash fucking bombed. This movie should be celebrated just on that alone. If you're going to give all this love to Oppenheimer, you have to give it to Barbie. It is only fair. And I was just kind of amazed that Greta did all this shit and it still wasn't recognized on that level. Because, let's call it what it is, Monster Trucks, that piece of shit that came out like 5-6 years ago, that was on my worst of that year. Fucking hate Monster Trucks. But a Monster Trucks movie exists, and you would think that you would have free license to do whatever the fuck you want on a Monster Trucks film, and that's not even fun. This movie has a social message, multiple social messages to it, and I don't know if a Barbie film could ever function better than this. You know what I mean? Like, I do think that needs to be taken into account, the fact that a Barbie movie functions in 2023. And has a great message behind it, and actually it's a functioning film. Like, it's nuts to me that this is the world we're in, when there's only two great Transformers movies, not counting the original cartoon one. But with all that said, Barbie goes ahead and basically has her world shattered, in the sense of, she realizes that there are things that are wrong, there are things that are bad, and so she goes ahead and she meets Weird Barbie, played by Kate McKinnon, who, my god, is there any more perfect casting than Kate McKinnon for Weird Barbie? So let me just kind of jump in the movie proper here. So, of course, Barbie and Ken end up going to the actual real world due to Barbie having a meltdown because she realizes an imperfection on herself, which I actually thought was a cool way to do it. So, once they are going ahead and get into the real world, unfortunately, because this is exactly what would happen, they're in these amazing, not jumpsuits, but in these, like, this athletic garb. And the first thing that happens is a guy grabs Margot Robbie's ass, which I was just like, yep, this is, like, I know some people are just like, oh my god, this is so woke. That's exactly what would happen. Like, she would not be here an hour before someone tried to grab her ass. Especially in downtown LA on the beach. Are you fucking kidding me? That's exactly what would happen. Get over yourselves. But she goes ahead and punches the fucker, rightfully so, ends up in jail, and then we go ahead and we follow their journey through discovering about, you know, the patriarchy and how women are treated, and there's a lot of balls in the air with this movie. And I think for the most part, Greta does a really great job handling everything. I mentioned that she co-wrote it. It's also written by Noah Baumbach, who he was the writer, director, and producer on Marriage Story, which is one of my favorite movies. And he also went ahead and wrote, directed, and produced White Noise, which I have not seen. It's on my list. I'm gonna have to watch it at some point. But I will say, for me, I think this movie takes on a lot. I think it handles about 80% of it well. I haven't mentioned her character yet, but Gloria, who's played by America Ferrera, you know, from, you know, Ugly Betty, Superstore, Real Women Have Curves, End of Watch, to name a few. The moment she gave that monologue, I actually paused it, and I looked right at looked right at my partner, looked right at Leia, and I was like, yeah, she's getting an Oscar nomination. It's one of those scenes where even with the rest of the movie, she's crap. That one scene alone, it's like, yep, this is how you pitch her for an Oscar. And honestly, I think, I do think like someone like Erica Alexander for American Fiction deserved it more, but America Ferrer is fucking amazing in this. And she has to go from like naive person who doesn't know that Barbie exists in the real world to like conflicted, upset mom to woman who's just trying to go ahead and just make ends. Like she's pulling a lot of different things out in her performance that I think work really well. And that monologue is just kind of the peak of everything for her, and she just never reaches that that crescendo. She never reaches those heights again. And I think people are kind of giving her, I think people are being a little unfair on that front. But because that monologue is maybe like midway, maybe 70% through the movie, you still have more to sit through with her, and just never reaches that height again with her. Speaking of the messages that it's definitely getting across, the smash the patriarchy, that's obviously the biggest one. Like, it's in the DNA of this movie, and if you're not talking about that, then you're not reviewing the film. And I look, this is where my critic brain almost kicks in, because I understand that this movie is not made for me, but I hate that. I hate that fucking cop out, because it means you just don't want to say anything negative about the film. And look, I think that Ryan Gosling, he's my favorite performance in it, but it's also the performance that's allowed the most room to breathe, because Ken is such a dum-dum. His I'm Just Ken, it's a showstopper. I fucking love that song, don't misunderstand. But at the same time, the way that he learns about the patriarchy, it's very much like a How to Train Your Dummies way that he's learning about it, because he doesn't know what books are, he doesn't know what libraries are, and the way that he goes ahead and is introduced to all this information, it's very much like a dullard in that way. And that actually makes the fact that he's being informed that, quote, men are better, unquote, it helps that go down a little easier. I do think that with Robbie, as I mentioned, there are so many layers, there's so many like different gears she needs to be able to hit. She needs to be this, you know, this doll that doesn't know anything. She needs to become a more informed woman as the film goes on. She needs to be, you know, scared. She needs to be happy. She needs to be angry. She needs to be, like, I think the film asks a lot of Robbie, and I think that she really does nail everything. But I do think that this movie almost reaches too much on its messaging, in the sense of it's trying to address so many things. But at the same time, if you don't bring these things up in the movie, you would have people say that it's not brave enough to go there. So like, the movie's kind of stymied in that way, because you have the history of Barbie as far as it being, you know, yes, it was a way for little girls to, you know, interact and, you know, act out their, you know, kid fantasies about, you know, making dinner and all that, you know, all those things. But at the same time, there is that underlining of the grossness of Barbie as far as the sexist aspects to it and the unrealistic body standards that it sets for women. And it does address that at a few points, but I think it hammers the patriarchy thing so hard that the other messages kind of get lost in everything. I flat out think my biggest complaint about this movie is at the end of the movie. Slight spoiler, so if you're not, you know, if you don't want to hear this part, fast forward like 2 minutes. She goes ahead and meets the founder of Barbie, and they basically have this conversation, and I think the conversation is very light. I really wish there was a conversation about how, you know, women can lift up each other, and how this, you know, I am not the beauty standard for Barbie. Like, you know, women can see themselves in Barbie. And it, like, it gets kind of close to that, but for as hard as it hammers the patriarchy stuff home, I really wish it would have hammered that point home, because I think that's a really important thing to have as you're kind of leaving the theater. And it just, it doesn't do that. And I was kind of frustrated by the fact it doesn't do that. One of the other things, Will Ferrell's in this. I don't have the, oh God, what's the character's name? He's like the Mattel CEO. And look, I get you kind of have to have a foil because you can't just have the patriarchy. I think you need to have an actual, like, you know, something physical, like an actual person, like a representation of it. And yeah, I think the comedy with Ferrell, I think it's fine. There's a couple of points that I actually did laugh. There's a point where they're actually trying to literally put Margot Robbie's Barbie into a box. And I was like, that's fucked. I was like, that's fucked up. But that's a really fun sight gag as well. And, but it's unnecessary. Like, I don't know what your alternative is, though. And that's where so much for me, I'm like, because, like, yeah, for me, this movie's not perfect. But at the same time, I think you have to have, like, these things almost are a necessary evil. Like, I'm really torn on this. I completely lost my train of thought. You know, but there are some amazing just lines of dialogue. There's this line where someone goes, we're still doing the patriarchy well, we just hide it better now. And I actually had to pause the movie and go, well played, goddamn, zing. That actually caught me completely off guard. And I will say too, the first half hour, as far as them establishing Barbie World and everything, just from a cinematic perspective, they sell you on it. Like, it, the set design and cinematography on this is so fucking well done. I just found myself going, this is kind of incredible that it looks the way that it does. It looks like a Barbie toy. It looks like a Barbie Dreamhouse set. It's crazy how authentic it looks. I know I've given her a lot of shit in the past, and I am going to give Insecure a chance next week, since we are still in Black History Month. Props to Issa Rae in this as President Barbie. She was a ton of fun in this. I thought she was really funny. And then the cameos you get in here. John Cena as Mermaid Ken. That shit made me laugh so fucking hard. Michael Cera is great in here as Alan. Alexander Shipp gets a decent amount to do. She was really fun. Oh gosh, what else? I already mentioned, of course, the I'm Just Ken dance number, which is wonderful. But I think the movie just felt crowded for me. I think that's the term I really just kind of kept coming back to as I was watching it. I watched it with my partner, and when the credits started rolling, we were both just kind of looked at each other, and I was like, what'd you think? Because, you know, I really value her opinion. So I was like, all right, babe, what'd you think? And she was like, I really enjoyed it. I didn't love it. And that's kind of where I fall too. She actually, we had a really nice conversation about it. And she actually agreed with me on the sense of, I wish it would have hammered certain points home more instead of just the patriarchy message, which I completely understand why it needs to be in here. And I'm not saying it's not valid or anything, but I do think the film had so much it wanted to say. This is one of those rare cases, because look, I'm happy when a film is 2 hours or just under 2 hours. I think this is like an hour 54. I appreciate when a film is can actually be under 2 hours. But at the same time, this is one of those cases where I think if you wanted to flesh out some of those other messages, I think another 10 minutes would have really helped this as far as fleshing those things out. There's a point in Greta's speech where I can't remember, I think it might be Margot Robbie brings up the whole, like, what about women, you know, what about women hating other women? And she goes like, oh, well, that's complicated. And then they just brush past it. And I was like, wait, there's a conversation there that definitely needs to be had. And it's not. And they just move past it. And I was like, I don't like that you did that. I was actually quite peeved that they just kind of moved on from that. I was like, okay. Like, I know there's other things to say, but that actually does warrant, you know, a conversation there. I'll give you a perfect example real quick. So the first 30 minutes of Barbie, it really feels like a cartoon. It feels like a Saturday morning cartoon in the best way. I really was digging the first half hour. But then when they get to the real world, I think so many people's interactions feel like cartoons, especially all the Mattel executives. They feel like cartoon reactions. So it feels jarring because we're in our world. And so I think if there's even just one scene of the Mattel board and all that, I think it would be less of an issue with me, but they're actually dragged along in this movie in a way that I kind of went, you could get back to the patriarchy thing since Ken is now informed about it, and that can be your conflict. You don't really need the Mattel CEOs to be here. So, yeah, it's frustrating on that front because, again, there's so much great here, but I don't think, I understand that, like, very similar to Oppenheimer. I get why this will be number one on some people's best of, but if you were to ask me, like, what did you think of this, Hunter? I'd go, yeah, it's good, but this doesn't touch my top 10, my top 15, my top 20. I saw much better films than this. So, with all that said, I'm still going to give this a B+. I really enjoyed this. I bought this. I didn't even rent this. I pre-ordered this. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. You know, sure. And I've rewatched it a couple times. I watched it once initially, and then I did watch it another time as I was starting to finalize my best stuff. But like I said, I don't know if a Barbie film can honestly function better than this one does. And that's the biggest compliment I can give this, is that this film works way better than it has any fucking right to. Like, I cannot stress that enough. There have been so many properties that have had films attached that have missed the mark. And this one doesn't. It's just not as great for me as many people say it is. But this got people... You know, just got people to band, you know, got people to have create memories together and throw parties, and got people back out to the theaters. Like, if anything, that is something to celebrate between this and Oppenheimer, despite how I feel about both. But yeah, this is a solid B+. It's streaming on HBO Max now, so if you haven't seen it, it's well worth your time. I would say, myself, I would say I definitely wouldn't show this to someone like younger than like 11. I think if you show this to someone who's like 11 years old, I think they would start to get it. I wouldn't be showing this to like a 10 or a 9-year-old, because there is some, you know, adult stuff in here. But I think you show this to 11, 12-year-old, like someone who's like 6th grade or 7th grade, you know, going into middle school. I think they would get quite a bit from this. I think it would warrant some really good conversations between you and your niece or nephew or what have you. But yeah, B+ for me. So, yeah, Barbie, what'd y'all see? What'd y'all think of it? Let me know in the comments. You can go ahead and hit me up. Follow me on Blue Sky at Real Pineapple. That's R-E-E-L, pineapple, .bsky.social. Got a question for the show? Want to just say hi? Got a review request? Shoot me an email at jhunter@therealpineapple.com. You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at jhunterrealpineapple. So that's jhunter. And then R-E-E-L, and then pineapple. You can follow me on Letterboxd at Black Shazam. And you can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheRealPineapple. And go ahead and follow me on YouTube. Subscribe there. Definitely helps us out. Like, rate, share, subscribe. And go ahead and follow us pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts. SoundCloud, Spotify, iHeartRadio, to name a few. Thank you so much for listening. I'll have more reviews coming up for y'all soon. And don't forget to subscribe everywhere so that you know when I'm going to be hopping on live for my Twitch streams. Real excited to be doing those, starting to hit a fun rhythm with those. But everyone, thank you so much for listening. Thanks so much for your support. Stay safe out there. Take care of each other. And never forget, as always, to keep it real.